I was told to be here at 9:40. And then Rachelab tells me it was 9:30. So 8 minutes late, but it's not my fault. Excuse me. I'm here to talk to you, not as a general Musa Shemuas, but to do a little explaining about what happened here Monday morning. For those of you who forget, remind yourselves. It was a cardinal event. Now, let me explain something. I know how you felt. Especially this is the first day coming back. For some of you, the first day back from Eretz Yisrael. You walk into this medrash and suddenly 10, 12, 15 galochim come, and a very colorful event. I'm sure you've noticed that too. And you probably were wondering, how does that come into a Bis Medrash? And how do you feel? Well, let me tell you, if I were in your shoes, I would feel perplexed, to say the least. There's something discordant, something disjunctive, something inappropriate about it. That is what I would feel if I were in your shoes, and how probably I would have felt that way a number of years ago. Sight of people coming representing the history of a church which was filled with anti-Semitism, which was a major source of anti-Semitism for hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe 1,000, 2,000 rather years. I remember my uncle, my granduncle, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, telling me how in Europe, when it came to Easter time, he and his family, everyone used to get into the cellars because pogroms would always be made and they would always come from the Jesuit church. And not that the others, non-Jesuit church, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, much better, but there was a tremendous amount of hatred for the Jew, humiliation of the Jew, not only humiliation of the Jew, but humiliation and deprecation of Judaism, which is an interesting story. Some number of years ago, in 1962, 63, I remember it had something to do with helping produce a show called The Deputy. Have you ever heard of it? The Deputy was shown on Broadway. It was the English translation of a German play by Rav Hochhut, which was about Pope Pius XII, the wartime pope, who did so little to save Jews when he could have done so much. And it created a riot and a strain in Jewish-Catholic relationships. And that time, it was a healthy strain. There had to be a strain. And yet, we have to be aware of events that change. You know, there's only one thing that doesn't change, and that's change. And things have happened in the last 20, 25 years, especially since Pope John the 23rd, who was clearly one of the tzaddikim of Olam. It was he who for the first time showed a smiling face to Jews and to Judaism. And when a Jewish delegation came to meet with him, he greeted them with the words Ani in Hebrew, Ani Yosef Achichem. And to have a pope, all whose predecessors lorded it over the Jews, held that they were superior and we were dirt, to say I am your brother. This was something quite unusual. He started Vatican II, which turned all of the church's anti-Semitism, its racism, its jingoism, it turned it on its head in its opening to the Jewish community. Until then, until maybe 20 years ago, the reigning theology of the church was called supersessionism, that the New Testament superseded the old one, so the old one is Botel and Mevutel Ka'afra Da'ara, and the New Testament is the Word of God as it is spoken to the world today, which means that we who believe in only one Testament, in Tanakh, and all that goes with it, we are really irrelevant. And we're not really religious. We are just a kind of social group or a national group, but we're not a religion. We are irrelevant. And then the present pope. The present pope is the first one ever to go into a shul in Italy. No pope would ever deign to go into a shul. I mean, there were famous writers in the second and third century who held that every shul is a, I don't know how to talk, I don't want to use the right word, a place of disgrace. Here's a pope, the present pope, who came into a shul as an act of respect, who went to the Kotel and wrote a kvittel. It was misspelled there in his ways. I'll tell you a story. During the Second World War, there was a Jewish couple in a town in Poland who knew that they had a baby, and they knew that they're going to get killed, so they came to the local farmer and said, please hold this baby because we want something to remain of us. And they were taken away and they were killed. The farmer and his wife brought the baby to the local galach, the local priest. And the priest said, where is this child? Is it your child? Well, no, we're watching, we're adopting him. But where is he from? They told him the story of the Jewish parents. He says, you can't baptize that child. You're not allowed to. His parents gave him to you to safekeep as a Jewish child. You may not baptize him. Raise him and let him go back to his people. That child now is a Sherman Mitzvah living in Muncie. And that priest became Pope Paul John, the present Pope. This is to say this, and any previous pope would have been fantasy. But this is what he did, and therefore, we've got to learn how to take our visceral reactions, our innate reactions, our spontaneous reactions, and as we grow, to modify them in the light of Metzius. And the Metzius has changed. Not all of them, not by any means, but the major brunt of the church towards Jews has changed. I'll go into it I must tell you, I had similar experience when I was a child of 10, 12, 15. My reaction to Negroes, as we then called them, to blacks, was frankly racist. I didn't want to mingle with them. I thought they smelled, all of them smelled bad. All of them, they were dirty. I mean, and I really felt that. So did everyone else I know. It took a lot of wrenching change to realize that this is nonsense. It's maybe a poorer class, maybe not as clean. They don't take showers three times a day. But here were people who had the full dignity of Tzelem Elokim, and I'm ashamed now of what I thought of them then. The Metzius changes, we grow, our visceral attitudes must change as well. That's as far as our innate feelings. Let me tell you something about politics, which is important for all of you to know, although you're Choshei Beis HaMedrash, and I hope you will be for all your lives, but you have to know what's going on in the world. The Catholic Church is an enormously powerful one. How many, I don't know, does anyone have the statistics, how many millions of people, 100 million, 200 million people? They're enormously, we are in the world 12 million. They are an enormously powerful church, but they are under pressure today. They are under pressure. They need friends. They need pressure. They're pressure from many sides. They need friends. They don't have the Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox as friends. They don't have the Protestants as friends. It hasn't worked out in many ways. They are afraid of Islam. They're afraid of Islam. Very much afraid, because as the Muslims grow and the Islamist movement, in fact, the fundamentalists grow, they are as much in danger as anyone else. Almost as much as anyone else. And they are grappling with the challenge of secularism for the last 100-200 years. They feel that secularism, especially in the United States and many parts of Europe, is triumphalist, is powerful, and they have banned from the intellect's discourse such words as sin, holy, God, revelation, redemption. These words don't exist for an intellectual today. And that makes it very difficult to get across a message of spirituality. Now, what I told you about the church, what does it say for us? Are we in need of friends? Most certainly we're in need of friends. I'm talking about the Jewish community, I'm talking about the state of Israel. We are in need of friends. We fear Islam very seriously. And we are grappling with secularism within our own community. So there is a community of interests. Their fears and our fears are parallel, in some cases almost identical, as the worries about Islam and its dangers. So we have such concerns. Now let me just tell you one thing. I know what some of you are thinking. We don't really need anyone else. We are Am Levadad Yishkan. And you tell yourself all the drashas about Am Levadad Yishkan, we don't need anyone else. There are some people in Medina Sisola who take that attitude, and if they should come into power, we would be in desperate trouble. Yes, we must do certain things for our defense, for our lives, but we need friends. Am Levadad Yishkan is a descriptive statement, not a normative statement. It's not a halacha. Because if you take every descriptive statement and make a halacha of it, then, my friends, when you get married, you must not allow your wives to get an injection during the delivery of babies or do anything to relieve their pain. It says, be sovente libonim. The curse of Chava was, be sovente libonim. So they must suffer. Not only that, it says to man, to Adam, arura adama, if the earth is cursed because of you, and therefore, the isavon tochlena kol yamei chayecha, that you should work and in pain and suffering. You regard that as a mitzvah? No, it's a description which we can overcome in the course of time. The same thing is true about anglova dajishkam. We can make it if necessary, but if it's not absolutely necessary, we certainly do need strong powers that go with us. As Rabbi Berkowitz Sol Vashon used to say, we were not meant to be the natura carta of the nations of the world. We are involved in the world, and we have much to tell the world. But in Har Sinai, we were told, we have to be mamleches koyedem and goy kadosh. A goy kadosh means holy for ourselves. In the world of Torah and mitzvahs, we are separate. But also mamleches koyedem, to be able to turn to the world like kohanim, teachers of the world, and try to give the Dvar Hashem to Kol HaOlam Kulo. I want you to know, in the course of the dialogues that took place, it was 2 days, we were only here for 2 hours, but they went on afterwards, and there was no theological dialogue. We didn't talk about the meaning of God, the meaning of redemption, we didn't talk about anything of that sort. We kept to the Rav's, as I saw, to his guidelines 100%, as indeed it should be, and it must be, especially within the walls of Yeshiva. Finally, I want to talk to you a little bit about halacha and hashkafa when it comes to dealing with umos olam, and especially with people like the cardinals who were here. And I must tell you, they were quite extraordinary in many ways. They didn't know what to expect here, but they insisted they had to come to see the Beis Medrash. They heard about it. And they, let me tell you, what time do I have to stop it? They asked me certain questions. I told them about the intensity of learning, etc., which I just knew about at that point only theoretically, and they didn't understand, how can you teach young men to argue, to question, which you would do when you're learning, and then not to use the same questioning to destroy their faith? Because in their religion, once you give a man a chance to question, boom, everything goes. So this is a paradox of them, which they regarded as wondrous, as miraculous. Number two, they said, after all the argument, doesn't it turn them into cynics? Sometimes, but not usually. They didn't know what to expect when they came, even as you didn't know what to expect, even as I didn't know, but I knew what to expect, because I had a certain confidence in you. They came in, you know, it was a Kiddush Hashem. They felt overwhelmed by the intensity of the learning, by the nature of the learning. They walked in and then with their eyes there, I thought they were going to levitate. Just rise from the ground. They kept on telling me, this is marvelous, this is great. And when they sat down with some of you, which I did not ask them to do at all, I wanted to keep them to the side, that's why I stayed there, but they ran themselves and they learned with some of you. I want to tell you, I don't know who you are, you're here now, I assume, you did a fantastic job. Those of you who were learning and kept on learning without being Mevatel Torah when they came in, did exactly the right thing. And those of you who were approached by the cardinals or their aides, the mere monsignors, and you talked to them, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, Yisher Koach, you did the right thing. It ended up in a great deal of prestige for yourself. They learned something about Judaism, which no textbook and no rabbi's drasha can give them. And it's all to your credit. So, why did we let them into the Medrash, and why didn't I stop them from learning with you? After all, you're not allowed to teach Torah to an Akum. I don't know how much Torah you taught them in the 20 minutes they were with you. I'm sure you didn't go through the whole Masechtas Sanhedrin with them. But I want to tell you that not everyone agrees. Not all Chazal agree about the Issa to teach Torah to an Akum. Maybe you have a Yerushalmi in Bava Kamma. Yerushalmi says as follows. Maaseh sheshilach hamalchus shnei isratatios. Don't know what it means. It means two representatives, two two important people from Rome. Lelame tar alumo tara mid Rabban Gamliel. They went to Rabban Gamliel Hazoken, and they wanted to learn Torah. Vilamdu mimenu mikra mishnah talmud halachas va'agodas. Everything was open to them. Rabban Gamliel himself and his people taught them all there is to know. I mean, of the major sources. Ubisof amru, but they said to Rabban Gamliel, kol toraschem noa mishubachas. You have a beautiful Torah. Chutz mishnei dvarim halalu. Except for two things. Shatem omrim bas yisrael lo siyaled li'akam aval akam yaledes to bas yisrael. That a bas yisrael, the Jewish, should not become a midwife for a goyim, and a goy can become a midwife for a Jewish woman, bereshusa, in her home. That's number one that they objected to. And second, gezelo shel yisrael osa v'shel akam muta. That gezel goy is muta, gezel yisrael, of course, is osa. That they couldn't accept. But also sure, Gozar Rabban Gamliel shall call Gzeiros Akim Shei Osami Bechil Lashem. So the Gamliel took two people, two Roman goyim, and they wanted to learn, and he taught them. And they pointed out something that was difficult to understand, and Bechil Lashem, he changed it. So Chil Lashem, therefore, Chil Bezal Akim is now Osa because of Chil Lashem. Third, second, I'm lost my count. There's a famous Meiri that gradually became accepted. Meiri says that whenever the Gemara talks about Akum, it means pagans. But the goyim of our times are civilized. They're not pagans as they used to be once upon a time in biblical times of Tanakh, and times of the Tanoim even. And they are civilized people, and they're not pagans who worship idols and believe that idols are a source of a lakus. And not only in Meiri, living in the Pyrenees, the border between France and Spain, but the Rabbi Natam, living in France, and the same with the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natam in Bechoros, and the Rashbam in Sanhedrin. You could look it up while I was talking to you. Some of Gimel on the days says as follows: Bizman hazeh, this is Tosfos speaking. Bizman hazeh, kulon nishbon bekachim. They all, when they take an oath, they do it by their saints. Ein tofsim behem elokus, and they don't believe that they are a divinity. V'afa pishem haskidenim mahem shem shemayim, even though when they mention God's name, kavanosam ledavar acha, mikom makom ein zeh mishem avodas kachavim. This is not avodas kachavim. Why? Ki datam l'shem osei shemayim v'odas. They intend to offer their praise to the Rabbanu shel olam. Even though they combine God and Oso Ha'ish, which is of course not all the kus, ain't kind of either. If you see, the problem was that the Gemara faced, if you go to, you're having business with a guy, and you have to go to court and you have to take a shvur. So he caused him. You cause him to take a shvur in court. He swears. He puts his hand on a New Testament, and he swears in the name of the Rabban Shalom and Lahavdil Elef Million Havdolos Oso Ha'ish. So you might think that that's a way to Zara, and therefore, if I go to do business with him, I cause him to come to court. I'm over on this night either, because he's over one of the dinim, one of the shalom mitzvahs. Of course, is Avodas Kachav. So the Tosfos is absolutely not so. It's not so. Why? Goyim were also only about this kachavim if they believed exclusively in the idol. But if they believe an idol plus the Rabbanu shel olam, or not an idol or a man, anything plus the Rosham, that is not about the zara for the definition of the akum. They're not over, that is no issa for them. So, let me give you now just quick three sources that I think you will find of great interest. And this too is Talmud Torah. The problem came up to the Mordechai Levi Horowitz, the Mata Levi. Are you allowed to give money to build a church? You're in a community, and people are collecting. They come to the Jews and they say, "Will you help us build a church?" And what's your first instinctive reaction? No. No, of course not. I would have said the same thing too. But the Mata Levi says as follows. Now, Kol HaDrachim goes to the whole Kashak of the Tanya, several pages, and his conclusion is as follows. The Al Kol HaDrachim Me'ele, נגיעה לתכלס הדבר הפושט אצלנו שאין כאן שום איסר כלל. Are you following me? וכיוון שאיסור הלכה ממילא הדין אל ידידי, which is correspondent, שמצא נמי איקר, היינו מצאס קידוש שמו הגדול. And he refers to an event, כי שר גדול בישראל, אשר לא אישר כך שמו במחנה עברים, the great שר, whose name will never be forgotten from among the Jews. And refers here, he says, the close shape to Farto Sir Moshe Montefiore, Moses Montefiore, Kidei Shem Shemayim al Yadizeh Shebono Lehem Beis Tila Ramsgate. He helped build the church at Ramsgate, and the Matalevi said, that was the Kiddush Hashem. So, Kulanu Modim Shekol Mi Sheino Yisrael. Anyone who's a non-Jew, Yuchal Lios Echad Nichasidei Gedolei Olam Bnei Olam Haba, Him Yishmer Hashem and Mrs. Bnei Noah Kasher Nitnu L'chol Olam Kulo. That's number one. Number two. Short excerpt. This is by the Yosef Shol Natanson, who was the author of the Shoyal Emeshiv, the great, great posek of Lemberov of Lemberg, of Lvov. This was written exactly, this tshuva is 1858. A little bit older than the Matalevi. The Yosef Shol, writing in Lemberg in Poland, today the Ukraine, says as follows, Bishnas Tofresh Ches Yud, 1858. Listen to this. Higiani Michtov in New York, from Medina's America. It's remarkable. He has a shayla coming from America, from a rabbi by the name of Yehuda Mittelman. What is he asking? The same question. Hushal Shiesham Beis Tfila, and the name of the Beis Tfila, he says, is, he writes it in the English, it's almost hard to understand. It comes out to be a Welsh Scotch Methodist church. And the shayla is, are you allowed to buy the church in order to build a shul? Can you come into it? It's a base of Avodah Zarah. Ba'evdim hema protestantim. Belit selim udmus. So he goes first to Ramah. I feel in the Magen Avraham says, I feel in nevar bekeva bebeis of Avodah Zarah mutter lehizbala betochem. Magen Avraham says, even if the whole thing, the whole bingen was exclusively for Christian services, or part of the services, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it. And then he asks something very strange based on the Gemara and Megillah. Gemara Megillah says that that the theaters and the circuses of Edom, of the Romans, someday Jews will teach Torah to their children in those places. So Professor Shaul says, aha, in that case, Adarava, Lefi Shalo Osid, Kol Ha'umo Siyo Kulam Sofa Bruda La Avoda Shev Levado, and Kain Adarava, they will all become bate medrashas, and therefore the chengam tan heptiach Hashem Yisborach shekol kach yisake Hashem bate zara hachafilu bate bate zara yavdu l'shem Hashem. Since they're all going to become eventually shuls and bate medrashas, there's no reason to ask for Jews for doing it. In addition, there is also the question of kiddushim shemayim, by showing that we are civilized and friendly with it. Finally, I have here the Hebrew, but it's the Hebrew of Rav Kook. And the Hebrew of Rav Kook is very difficult to understand, well, slow reading and sometimes a dictionary. So I translate into Hebrew for you. This is in his Midos, Raya, and Ava. The highest level of our love for all creatures must be the love of humanity, which should extend to all its members. Despite the differences of religion and ideology, despite the differences of race and environment, one should try to understand the mindset of the various nations and factions as much as possible in order to appreciate their character and nature. Then one can know how to base the love of humanity on foundations that lead to actual deed. Only when the soul is enriched by the love of all creatures and all humanity can the love of Israel be elevated to its lofty station and attain greatness both in spirit and practice. It is a narrow-mindedness that causes one to see only ugliness and impurity in everything beyond the bounds of Israel, the unique nation. This is one of the most awful, debased forms of darkness. It damages the entire edifice of spiritual virtue, the light of which every sensitive soul seeks. What Rav Kook is saying is that you should not approach other people's and say that whatever they have is bad, whatever we have is good. But try to see the good in others when indeed it is good. Because assuming that everything beyond us is dirty, is impure, is a darkness of the soul. Why is it a darkness of the soul? Because we have suffered from that for 2,000 years now. That's what they did to us. We should not do it to them, because it's not a right thing. It's an immoral thing. So, for all these reasons, I want to tell you and repeat, I can understand your initial reaction. Some of you came afterwards to me and were upset. Not many, some of you. But I want you to know why we did it. Incidentally, it was not my idea. No one, Yeshiva's idea. They wanted to see it. What should I have done? Said, you can't do it? That would not have been numbly, not a kiddush Hashem, would have been a chil of Hashem. At any rate, in retrospect, I'm glad they came, because already, only two days later, they already have prepared a new statement of anti-Semitism, approved not by the Pope. The Pope is no longer functioning, he's a terribly sick man, but by the major force of the conservative side of the Catholic Church. Cardinal Ratzinger personally approved a strong statement against anti-Semitism, which is very important, as that particular religion goes through a historic transition in the very near future. So I want you to know that by your conduct, by your deportment, you conducted yourselves in a manner that gives me, as Rosh Hashiva, a tremendous amount of pleasure. You did it the right way, and the result, it may have been a bit of Torah for a half an hour or so, the result was a Kiddush Hashem, and you can be very proud of yourselves for it.
After the sweeping and yet incisive, comprehensive, and it was, relatively speaking, very brief, completely knowing presentation and almost sheer, Dr. Lam Shlita, Rav Shlam, I just wanted to add a few words. And I did it because Rabbi Lam asked me to do it yesterday. I wrote an article about 4 or 5 years ago in Beit Yitzchak. It's a halachic article on the potential of the Gentiles, of non-Jews. On Monday, one of the most distinguished cardinals in the Beis Medrash bowled over, and then he just stopped and asked me, maybe not the exact words, but this is what he wanted to know. He wanted to know, what do you think of us? I have various things that feel I could have told. But the passages in the Tefillah and other places grew out of a certain history. So I told him I wrote this article where I said, and I'm going to quote to you just two or three things. The Rambam says, Sofil Hushmita the Yovel, and the purport of the Maimed I wrote, and I didn't know that we would ever have such distinguished representatives here, the Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Boy Yola. And there's no question, though some may have had some problem with it, that this refers to everybody, whoever they are, where they come from. Anyone who gives of himself, separates himself in the absolute devotion of Hashem, he can become Kodesh Kedoshim. The Makar of the Rambam perhaps is the member of Meir. Rav Lam referred to it in the Yerushalmi, Minayin Shafiru Nochri Ba'osek B'Torah Harehu Kekoyin Gadol. You want to read the analysis of this, you can do the whole mimer. And finally, the Divrei Tana de Beir Rabbi Yo, with Vori Isha Neviya, Patience Lapidus, he shows us Yisrael Beisahi. And this is the Lashon of the Tana de Beir Rabbi Yo. Meir Ani Olai, Es HaShomayim Besoretz, Ben Yisrael Ben Akum, Ben Ish Ben Isha, Ben Eved Ben Shifcha, Hakol Lefi Hamas Es Shehu Oseh, Kach Ruach HaKodesh Shor Olav. And then he explained how he learned it out of the pasuk of what Dvorah said to Lapidus. And then in the Yo Zutet says, Ko'anecha Yil Bishu Tzedek, Elu tzadike umos olam sheheim konim lakodesh baruch hu b'olam hazeh. But I want to read to you a letter that I know I don't believe is that well known to you. And you listen to this letter. And he begins, Baruch Hashem, Evan Pino, Evan Boichen, Kono Bino, Hutzak Bochein. And in the middle of the letter he says, Umanil Litznei Hodcho. And it was written to one of the leading, about the leading Christian thinker about Christianity, who himself was a Monsignor and the head of the church of this place. And this writer, the letter writer, who happened to be Jewish, and I'm going to ask you who you think it was. Umani Litznei Hodcho. כי אנחנו לא יודחו, וכי סידרוש בשלומי, וכי סיסקור אז יומי, וכי סישאו על מקומי, ומה מוצוסי בי, מה מוצוסי בי, כי זבקש לירוס מכתובי, ואני נער ובר, אין בי מאומו, לא תורה ולא חכמה, ומה עדה אשר לא תדע. And then at the end he says, and this is important, Ve'ekna lo es asher yudieni, V'chol asher tomar elai lasos, Ese, Ve'ezra sokel yizborach, Hayochid umyuchod, Hu echod, Hu shmo echod. In spite of everything, and he says to him, Who am I to you? You know everything that I know. I don't know Torah, I don't know anything. You know everything. You know certainly more than me. But then he sneaks in this pasuk. And by the way, when I spoke to this distinguished Cardo, and I told him about Kobay Olam, Kibi Kodesh Kedoshim, and Kibi Kain Godol, Lifnai Lifnim, and I have that mimer there too. In the inner sanctum, the Kodesh Kedoshim, I said, so long as he separates himself and believes in the one God, and I said it two or three times, you have to believe in the one God. And this is what he spoke to a leading Christian cleric in 1660. This letter was written in 1660. Who do you think wrote this? And then at the end of the letter, and the postscript says, Ulekol Haverechoi, he writes to this very renowned priest, and to all your friends, Hamashim Mimrecho, listen to what you say. Shalom v'yesharav aleiv yikra. May peace and great salvation, whatever you want to say, great help, come to them. Who do you think was the man who wrote this? It was a shach. The shach HaKadosh. Can you imagine that? You read the shach and he did this. But I want to tell you something, and I want to close with the following thing. There was another time when a goy came to a Beis Medrash. We told him pretty soon we're going to be celebrating Purim. After Ahasuerus told Mordechai, he told Haman, I want you to take Mordechai, put on the raiment of the king, the Lush Melech, and Sus Hashavachavo. He didn't know where Mordechai was. And he found Mordechai in the Beis Medrash. And when Mordechai saw him coming to the Beis Medrash, and he saw with the sus and the raven, he was sure that he was came to kill him, and he was seized and gripped with fear. So he put on a big talus and he started to daven Mordechai. And Haman came and sat down, and he patiently waited for Mordechai to then daven. Complete daven. This is Gemara Megillah, daven Tezayin. after he completed davening, he said to Mordechai, "What were you learning? I came in, I saw you learning with the Talmidim, I saw you learning with the Rabbanan. What were you learning?" So he says, "We were learning about the time when we had a Beis HaMikdash. So when a person wanted to bring, he used to bring a kometz. He brought kometz solas. It's really not solas. That's a problem that many of the Mepharshim have, because it was Saorim, and here was so many answers. He kometz solas. He brought the korban mincha, and that's what we were discussing. And the reason was because Rashi says it happened to be the 16th day. That's when he brought the omer. It was on Pesach, and that's when the story of, if you know, the story of Mordechai and Esther happened on the 16th day of Pesach, first day and second. She fasted on Pesach, in fact, the first days. And Haman looked at Mordechai and said, "Mole kumse didichuk. The fistful of flour that you have in your hands is doicha asora alfe kikor kaspor didi. Overcomes, pushes aside the tens of thousands of talents of silver that belong to me." I want you to know the same thing happened. If I had asked you to conjure up one word that became probably the most opprobrious epithet in Christian civilization for nearly the last 2,000 years, what word would that be? Particularly large in Lahavdil Magdolos in the New Testament. Not that I read the New Testament, but everybody knows. What word is that? Pharisee. Prushim. What was the difference between the Prushim? There were many differences. But the essential difference between the Prushim and the Tzukim of the Prushim was Torah Shebal Peh. And the Tzukim only believed in Torah Shebisav. And they made fun of the Torah Shebal Peh. And all the great machlekes between the Prushim and the Tzukim was on this one fact. Do you listen to the Rabbanan and say, is there a Torah Shebal Peh or not? And that became the most terrible word in the lexicon of Western civilization, because it came from its Christian roots. And when these cardinals walked in, they were overwhelmed. I knew for the first time what Chazal meant. They said in a different way than I ever understood it. Kosley Beis HaMedrash Yochichu. They suddenly saw that these Pharisees, this Torah Shebal Peh, has triumphed. In a very, very real sense, they maybe admitted it for a moment, and they seem to admit it to us for that moment. And therefore, I want you to know that the learning here, it was a question, but to know that Kosley Beis HaMedrash triumphed, and Prushim triumphed over Tzedukim, should make us learn more to keep the Seder more punctilious, to make more stirring. Because Baruch Hashem, we came to this point. Thank you.